Welcome to another inspirational message from Hillsong Church, London.
You good? Awesome. Well, this message that I want to preach has kind of got birthed out of an experience that I had last year. And I don't know about you, but if you ever go for a meeting with someone and they don't turn up on time, I don't know about you, maybe it's just me, maybe I'm a little bit weird, but what I do is I get my phone out and I pretend that someone's messaging me. Pretend that I've got an email or something like that. I just try and look important, but there's nothing there. And that's what happens. So I'll go on Instagram, I'll go on Snapchat, and I'll go on Facebook as well. And I don't really do anything else on Facebook except for stalk people. Who does that? Don't lie. You're in the house of God. You all do it. You all stalk people. And as I was stalking people, a message popped up. And this message was from a guy called John. And I used to go to school with John like 2 years ago. That's how young I am. And I was about 15 years ago, I used to go to school with John. And what you got to understand about John is John was the man. Like, John was the man. All the girls wanted to date him. All the boys wanted to be him. John was the man. He was like the best at sports. He had a man's body as a boy. It's like every dream, right? I'm still trying for that. Anyway, John was the man. He'd be good at every sport. He'd get all the girls. I'd get no girls. It was just annoying. But then John said, thank you. Oh. So right now, I've been married for 9 years. Hello. I hooked her and kept her in just in case she ran away, right? John messaged me and the message popped up and I'm like, oh my gosh, it's John. And John's like the coolest person. I was so excited that John was messaging me. And then he called my wife and was like, babe, guess what? John's messaging me. It was so cool. And John messaged me and he said, Dan, says, how are you doing? I said, I'm doing good, John. How are you? And as I was messaging him and waiting for him to message me back, it took a little while, but he got back. I started Facebook stalking his photos. And I realized that John is not the same John as I was friends with 15 years before. You see, John, the one that had everything going for him, John, the one that was the man, actually just made some bad decisions along the way and ended up pretty much homeless on all sorts of substances in just an absolute mess. I said, John, what's happened? He said, Dad, I've made some bad mistakes, man. And now just life's over. And it kind of got me thinking that maybe so many of us in life, we make bad mistakes and we think that's it. But the truth is we're made for so much more. We're made to live a big life, a life of significance, of influence, all because of what Christ has done for us. And I was like, John, you're so much more talented than me. You had everything going for you. But there was just one thing I realized is that Christ has made me for more. He's made us to live a life for more. And I want to encourage you in this place that God has called you to live a life made for more. A life bigger than maybe we're currently living, to do things that is just so exceptional that the world goes, wow. A life made for more. As I was thinking about this, as I was preparing this message, I was thinking about who in the Bible, there's so many people, but who in the Bible live a life made for more? And it got me thinking about the prophet Daniel. Oh man, I love Daniel so much, I asked my mom to name me after him. That's what I did. Daniel and the lion's den. We've probably all heard this story. Maybe you heard it in Sunday school and it's just this nice little story, but it made me figure out there's so much more to this story, so much deeper than we think. The life of Daniel is so significant, and I wanted to dive into the Bible and talk about Daniel. And what is it that made him live a life for more? What is it about his life? And the first thing I realized about Daniel is that Daniel was made of the good stuff. Daniel was made of the good stuff. I don't know about you, but I often get asked, like the people come up to me and they go, where are you from? And I'll be like, East London. Like, no, bro. But where are you from? I see your hair. Where are you from? I'm not going to show you my hair because like I'm doing something with it right now. And you'll see it soon in a few months, maybe. Who knows? they would look at my hair, and it's like, it's not the good kind of texture that they were imagining. They're like, but where are you from? And I'm like, I don't know, I was born in East London. They're like, no, bro, where are you from? I'm like, oh, you're asking where my mum's from and my dad's from, you idiot. And so my dad's side is Jamaican, and my mum's side is South African. Yo, but she's like Indian South African. Yeah, love you. And so my nan is like proper Indian South African, and she makes the best chicken curries you would ever try. If you're ever in Bournemouth, I'm going to give you my nan's address. You go to her house, and she'll cook you a chicken curry. It's so good. She's a vegetarian, though, so I don't know how she knows it's good. But you know those kind of foods where it's so good that you eat so much and it hurts so bad, but you just want to taste a little bit more that you keep putting it in? That's how good her chicken curries are. And my mum would get jealous about us loving nan's chicken curry so much that my mum tried to make a curry like my nan's. She came back to London. She says, boys, I've got a surprise for you. I'm like, what is it? She goes, it's chicken curry. I'm like, oh. And she put the chicken curry in front of us, and it kind of looked like my nan's chicken curry. It didn't smell like it, but we tasted it. We got a spoon and was like, chicken curry, yeah? No, mum, go back to the drawing board. Do it again. I didn't say that. She would slap me. But I said it in my head. And so she would go back once, twice, three times, four times, make this chicken curry. I said, Mom, listen, you're getting it wrong. Go back to Nan and figure out what she actually puts in the chicken curry. So she goes back to Nan, she figures it out, she brings it back to the table. I'm like, Mom, woo, this is good. What happened? She said, I put the good stuff in. Everything that your nan puts in, the garam masala, the turmeric, the chili powder, hello, oh, I want a curry after this. She put it in, and the thing I realized about Daniel is that Daniel was made of the good stuff. He had the good stuff in him. It wasn't about his giftings and his talents, but it was about who he was. Check this out. Daniel 6, if you got your Bibles, who's got their Bibles? All 10 of us. It's all right, it'll come up on the screen. It says this, Daniel 6. It says, it pleased Darius to appoint 120, you got to understand, Darius is the king at this time. It pleased Darius to appoint 120 satraps to rule throughout the kingdom with three administrators over them, one of whom was Daniel. The satraps were made accountable to them so the king might not suffer loss. Now, Daniel so distinguished himself among the administrators and the satraps by his exceptional qualities, aka his character, aka the good stuff, the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. I love that. I love that Daniel was distinguished not because what he was good at, not because of his talents, not because of his gifts, but what was on the inside. He was made of the good stuff. You look at the Bible, right? In Daniel 1, it talks about Daniel at the age of 15 being exiled to Babylon because of who he was. Not because of what he did or anything like that, but because of who he was. That tells me God, irrespective of age, race, nationality, he can use anyone at any time. Daniel was exiled to Babylon at the age of 15. Shows me across Daniel's life that it wasn't about his gift and his talents, because one of Daniel's gifts and one of his talents was what he could do was interpret dreams. But the thing is, he only interpreted a dream at the age of 17, and he didn't do it again until the age of 49. What was it that kept him going? His character. He was made of the good stuff. I look at Daniel and I think, why was Daniel made for more? Because he was made of the good stuff. He focused just as much on his giftings as he did his character. He put as much time into that as he did his talents and his giftings. I want to encourage you, that it's all about the good stuff. It's all about what's in you. Imagine this. Imagine if what you was doing when you're using your gifts and your talents, imagine if that disappeared. What would be left? Would the people that are around you right now still want to be around you? It's all about the character. Daniel was made of the good stuff. The Bible says this in Matthew. Check this out. It says, the good person out of his good treasure brings forth good, and the evil person out of their evil treasure brings forth evil. Basically, what is in you will come out. what you build up on the inside will come out. I'm going to tell you a little honest story. I didn't say this in the last service, but I'm going to say it now because it's the last service and I don't really care. This morning, we had our neighbors and last night they were playing music from their balcony. And I had an early night because we got church the next day, so we want to be fresh, right? And so I had an early night and then 2 o'clock in the morning and music's waking me up. I'm like, what's going on? I'm like, okay, all right, Saturday night, you know, having a good time, whatever. I'm going to go back to sleep. I went back to sleep, 5:30 in the morning and it's still going on. I wake up 5:30 in the morning. I've not got my contact lenses in. I've not got my glasses in. I can't see a thing. I open up the window. I'm like, hey! Your music's so loud. It's 5:30. Shut up! I've got to preach in the morning. What's in you will come out. I was angry at that point. But I want to encourage you, church. Come on. It's a good transition, right? Come on, what's on the inside? Develop the character on the inside. We talk about Daniel and he was committed. He was courageous. He had a conviction about him. He was humble. Everything about Daniel. When you read and you study Daniel, it says, what are his weaknesses? And they're like, it's hard to find some. He did have some. But you understand that you are made of the good stuff. The Bible says the same power that rose Christ from the grave lives in you. Oh, come on, you got a power, you got a goodness in you. You've just got to work it out and exercise it. Come on, is there anybody thankful for the power of God in this place? Oh, the second thing I love about Daniel, not only was he made of the good stuff, but he was made for a purpose. He was made for a purpose. One of the things that annoys me, I'm just going on a rant now. One of the things that annoys me are haters. Anyone else? Just haters. Haters, if you notice this about haters, haters only hate when you're doing well. They don't really care when you're doing bad. In fact, what they want to do is they want to help you. They want to encourage you, make you feel good. But as soon as you start doing well in life, haters are going to hate. And haters only hate because they want to be where you are, but they couldn't be bothered to put the effort in to get where you are. So that's where they are. And now they're jealous and they're trying to find dirt on you. But the only dirt I see is the dirt on them. So I'm like, you better get that dirt off your shoulder. Hip hop jokes. Oh, come on, haters. Daniel had haters. Daniel had so many haters, so he gets put in this position because of who he was. Because he was made of the good stuff, he gets put in this position. And now haters going to hate. Says at this, the administrators and the satraps tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel in his conduct of government affairs, but were unable to do so. They could find no corruption in him because he was made of the good stuff, because he was trustworthy, neither corrupt nor negligent. Finally, these men said, we will never find any basis for charges against this man, Daniel, unless it has something to do with the law of his God. Even the haters knew that he had a purpose. Even the haters knew that he was made for so much more. Even the haters knew that he would not waver from his purpose. So what did they do? The Bible continues in verse 6. It says, so these administrators and the satraps went as a group to the king and said, my king Darius, may you live forever. The royal administrators, the prefects. Does anybody remember prefects at school? Do you get a little badge? Same prefect. And you was allowed in the hallway at lunch and stuff like that. Oh, I miss those days. The prefects, the satraps, the advisors, governors have all agreed that the king should issue an edict and enforce the decree that anyone who prays to any god or human being during the next 30 days, except to you, King Darius, shall be thrown into the lion's den. Now your majesty issued a decree. Put it in writing so that it cannot be altered in accordance with the law of the Medes, the Persians, which cannot be repealed. So the king, he put it in place. Can you imagine? Daniel gets appointed to this place. He's just doing who he's been called to be by God. He has favor on the earth, but people don't like that. So they try and knock him down. They try and make him waver from his purpose. But I love what we learn from Daniel. The Bible says that Daniel hears about this. Grab this. It says he hears about it. Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened towards Jerusalem. 3 times a day, he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. You got to grab that bit. Just as he had done before. Don't you love Daniel? That even though everything was coming against him, even though that he was getting oppressed, that people were trying to knock him down, he had haters. What the Bible says, it says he went to the upper room, and just as he had done before, he prayed. Oh, I love that Daniel. Not only is he going to pray in the good times, not only is he going to praise when things are going well, not only is he going to praise on the mountaintop, but he says, I will praise my Lord in the valley. I will praise my God when it's going bad. I will praise my God in the tough times because he is a good God. And I know his purposes are for me. So he says, Daniel takes himself up to the upper room. Oh, what's the upper room? The upper room in those times was a place where people, the windows of the upper room would face towards Jerusalem. The Holy Land, so they could get into the presence close as God as they can. I want to encourage you. Whenever you find yourself being oppressed, whenever you find yourself just burnt out from the crowd, I want to encourage you, get into the upper room. Get close to God, get in his presence, hear what he has got to say for you. Get into the upper room. What else about the upper room? The upper room was a place from away from all the distractions, away from all the noise, away from all the negativity, and in the presence of God. I love this, that Matthew says this. In Matthew 10, verse 22, Jesus is talking to the disciples just as he's about to send them out, and he says this, he says, yo, you will be hated because of me. Thank you, Jesus. But the one who stands firm will be saved. The one who stands firm will be saved. Oh, often I think standing firm means stepping out. Standing firm means taking yourself out sometimes. Daniel said, listen, I can't listen to all of you right now. I'm a stand firm and I'm going to go to my upper room. I'm going to go and get in the presence of the King. I'm going to go and hear what he's got to say over my life. Oh, some of us just need to stand firm. Some of us just need to stand firm, step out. Get ourselves out of some situations that we might have found ourselves in. Because they're actually what killing us more than making us alive. Understand that you are called for a purpose, for such a time as this. And there are going to be things that are going to try and knock you down and get you out. Trust me, there's things in my life try and knock me down and get me out and throw my attention off of God. But the Bible says, Hebrews 12, fix your eyes. Fix your eyes on the pioneer, the author, the perfecter of our faith. Because when you focus on him, oh, the purpose comes flooding in. I want to encourage you, church. You got a purpose. Daniel understood that he was made for a purpose. The third thing I love about Daniel, knowing that he was made for more, is that he knew who made him. He knew who made him. You know, the Bible says in this story in Daniel 6, we know it, it says that Daniel says, I'm not going to bow down to the king. I'm not going to bow down to anything else that isn't my king, Jesus, Lord God. So he gets arrested. He gets arrested. He gets thrown into this lion's den. A big boulder comes and blocks the den. He's in there. Oh my gosh, I would be freaking out. Wouldn't you? Like, you know, when I was growing up, I felt like I was a man's man. I kind of realized, as life's gone on, I'm not. I'm scared of cats, guys. It's real. You know, in Genesis 122, the Bible says that the devil made snakes and cats. It's not really in the Bible, but should be. And made snakes and cats. And as I've gone on in life, I've realized I'm not that brave. And I was at a youth camp last summer, and I was there, and I was in the room seeking God. No, I wasn't. I was eating, but close. And and a bird flew into the room. A bird flew into the room. It flew in like as fast as it could, and it hit a window and died. I'm like, yes. Joking, animal lovers, don't worry about it. It's all right. Email Robbie complaints. Oh. A bird flew in the room. So I was like, there's a dead bird in the room. What's the bird doing in the room? So I go downstairs. I'm like, I'm not going to touch it. My mum's told me that birds have got like fleas and disease and stuff like that. Don't touch birds. I was like, okay, mum. So I go down. I get to the reception. I say, hey, listen, there's a dead bird in the room upstairs. You need to come and get it out. So as I come back into the room, somehow, the resurrecting power has made this bird alive and is flying the ground again. And here's my reaction to the bird. That wasn't my wife screaming. I told you. That's a bird, little bird. You can't even see it. I can't even imagine what I'd be like with a lion. I would have fainted. I'd be like, oh, Jesus. I'd be gone. This bird fly, oh my gosh, can you imagine what it'd be like in the lion's den with this big lion breathing down your neck? I'll leave the sound effects to somebody else. But can you imagine, the boulder's been rolled there, you can't get out, and you're in there all night, and this lion, can you imagine the fear? Can you imagine the anxiety, how stressed out you would be in that moment? Everything would want inside of you would want to cave in and go, all right, I'll bow down to everything else. Just get me out of here. But Daniel doesn't do that. The Bible says that he stays in there, and then the next day, King Darius, the guy that put him in there in the first place, rushes to the den, tells the guards to move the boulder out of the way. He's like, Daniel, are you still down there? And we know the story. Daniel survives the lion's den. But if I was Daniel in this moment, and I'd just been saved from a lion, oh, there's going to be some cockiness and arrogance that comes out of me right now. To the very man that asked me if I'm okay. You put me in here, bro. What are you talking about? But Daniel, I love Daniel. He doesn't give a self-righteous Christian reaction. He gives a graceful response. Check this out. He says this. He says, oh, may the king live forever. My God sent his angel and he shut the mouths of the lion. They have not hurt me because I was found innocent in his sight. Nor have I done anything wrong before you, your majesty. Don't you love that? They're even the people that tried to get Daniel down. Oh, everything you would grant him. You would say, yeah, Daniel, you're right to be angry with him. But he's like, psh, what is that? I don't care, my God's bigger. My God's stronger. My God's mighty. This is small. Have you seen how big my God is? Oh, come on, some of us, maybe we're just fighting battles that we don't need to fight anymore. Maybe we're just trying to have butt heads with people that we don't need to butt heads with anymore. Oh, come on, don't give them a self-righteous reaction. Come on, give them a gracious response. Let them see the God in you. And so I love it. I love it. Daniel gets saved. And I love that the God didn't just keep him alive, but he made him alive. Check this out, Ephesians 2. In the Message version, it says this, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit of who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us have lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in our transgressions. Is anybody in this place thankful for the love of God, for his grace, for his mercy, that he doesn't keep us alive, but he's made us alive? Oh, I'm so thankful. His grace is enough.
His grace is sufficient. His grace is more than you could ever need. You've got to know who lives in you. And here's the thing. Daniel realizes this. Daniel realizes he's made for more. Daniel realizes that he's made of the good stuff. He's made for a purpose and he knows who made it. And so here's the result. The Bible says this. It says the king understands this. I love it. It says the king sees this. The guy that put him in the prison in the first place. Says this. King Darius wrote to all the nations, all the peoples of every language, in all the earth, may you prosper greatly. King Darius says, I issue a decree that in every part of this kingdom, people must fear and reverence the God of Daniel, for he is the living God, and he endures forever. His kingdom will not be destroyed. His dominion will never end. He rescues and he saves. He performs signs and wonders in the heavens and the earth. He has rescued the power with the power of God. Come on, in this place, is anybody thankful for the power of God? Is anybody thankful that God has set you up to live a life made for more? Not of smallness, but of greatness. Come on, let's sing, John. So let it be. Because one person, realized they were made for more. Despite the situation and circumstances of life coming up against them, realized they were made for more. A whole nation was pointing towards Jesus. A whole nation was pointing towards God. Because of one person. Because of the way they lived. They realized they were made for more. I want to be a person like Daniel. That lives a life like that. The people may look at my life and not just see my life, but realize, what is it about him? It's God. A life that points people towards him. And a nation on earth begins to praise him, begins to sing holy. It's awesome. I think it's incredible. If we grab that, you grab that you're made for more. Can you imagine what your friendship would look like? Imagine what your family, the people around you, your colleagues would look like. Because of our lives get pointed to God. You know, last summer, I was in the park with my little girl, Bella. She's like 20 months now. She was however old back then in the summer. And we was having a daddy-daughter day. And it was the cutest little thing, man. She's so cute. And we was on the swings and we're just like swinging. We're swinging on the swings. And she's like, down. So I'm like, all right, girl, let's go down. I let her go down. And what you got to understand is this park's not that big. Maybe it's as big as this auditorium. It's not that big. But to her, oh, it's the whole world. To her, it's like, it's such an adventure. And she's looking around at what she could go on and what she could be a part of. And she's running, she's doing all this sort of stuff. And then she sees this big dragon. It's massive, man. Like, it's huge. It's like going up like that. A massive dragon. You can go in it, around it, on it, wherever. It's huge. And she looks at it and she runs up to this dragon and then she stops. I see you thinking. She sees this dragon is way too big. It looks awesome. This thing in this world, it looks awesome, but it's way too big. And then I see it just click. She realizes who she's with. So what does she do? She turns around. She lifts her hands out. Dada. I see her. I'm like, come on, girl, let's go. I grab her by the hand. We do this dragon. We're going in it, around it, on it. We finish it. It was the best thing. Her smile was so good. But here's the thing. Here's what I realized. The picture I got from that is that often in life, maybe we come up to challenges. Maybe we come up to things that just seem so much bigger than we are. Maybe we come up to opportunities that just seem a little bit too scary. And what we do is what Bella did. And we go up to it, we see it, and we stop. And we stop and we feel, I can't do that. I can't do that on my own. And here's the truth, we can't. But that's why God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to make a way and have access to the Father. And He says, if you just reach out your hand, oh, you can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. And you see, when we walk with God, when we walk with God, when we just simply say, God, I need you. This thing that I can't do this without you. When we reach out our hand and say, Father, will you help me? Oh, you'll be surprised at the things you can do. You'll be surprised at the way people look at your life and go, oh my God. And you can say, is Christ in me? God's there. Standing there just as I was standing waiting for Bella. I knew what she wanted. I knew what she needed. But she had to turn, face me, and say, Daddy, I need you. And in this place, God sees you, just as you are, however you've come into this place today. And He's saying, I'm standing here, I'm waiting for you to simply just turn and face me, and let's do this thing called life together. Let's achieve so much. The Bible says that He's come to give you life, and life to the full. Not to just do the small things, but to accomplish the big things. To live a life made for more.
This is the end of this podcast. We hope you have been challenged and inspired. For more information about Hillsong Church London, please visit hillsong.co.uk.